Welcome to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy program. We are broadcasting from 92.1 in Provincetown, 91.3 in Orleans, and online at WOMR.org. I am Lindsay Henderson, Communications and Data Analyst for Cape Light Compact, and today we will be talking about our newly filed energy efficiency plan and energy saving tips for the holidays and winter. It's that time of year again when energy bills start to get everyone's attention. Cape Light Compact has just submitted its new energy efficiency plan for 2016 to 2018 to the State Department of Public Utilities, along with the other statewide program administrators. It's an exciting plan that is designed to yield a substantial amount of energy savings and benefits to consumers. The plan includes some features and technologies, programs targeting specific electric customers, while also continuing some of our most popular enhancements. To give you a little bit of background, it's an accepted fact that the least expensive energy is what you don't need to use. Based on that fact, all electric customers pay a state-mandated charge on their electric bills that help fund the energy efficiency programs. By saving energy, we not only reduce our bills, but can help avoid the cost of new power plants and power lines, and also environmental impacts. We should all be proud of the success that we've had here on the Cape and Vineyard. And actually, Massachusetts was just recently named the number one state in energy efficiency for the fifth year in a row, beating out California and other New England states. Despite the growth and development on the Cape and Vineyard during the past 15 years, our energy efficiency programs have stopped the peak energy use from growing. What this means in consumer terms is that our energy efficiency services have installed measures that will deliver more than $600 million in consumer savings and benefits over the lifetime of those measures. To learn more about this and to view all of our annual reports, you can go to our website, www.capelightcompact.org. It's also important to know that the way to start is simple. All electric consumers, residential and commercial accounts on Cape Cod or Martha's Vineyard are entitled to a free energy assessment. And if you haven't taken advantage of the assessment, you should join the thousands of people who have. Give us a call at 1-800-797-6699 to sign up today. So today is very exciting. I have with me Maggie Downey, Cape Light Compact Administrator, and Meredith Miller, who manages our commercial and industrial programs. Maggie and Meredith are going to talk about the opportunities for savings and the kinds of consumer incentives and rebates that are available under the new three-year plan. Maggie and Meredith, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Lindsay. It's good to be here today. I thought it would be a good idea before I started to talk about some of the programs and the enhancements, just to elaborate a little bit more on what you were talking about as to why we have a three-year plan and why this is such a big deal for everybody that lives on the Cape and Vineyard. So I think the most important thing to remember about energy efficiency programs is that these are our programs. Every month, all of us, whether you have a business or live or pay an electric bill, you're paying into these funds. And back, I'm going to date myself, but back in the late 1990s, specifically 1994 through 97, prior to when the compact was formed, there was a research and a very strong grassroots movement to make sure that the energy efficiency funds that we all pay into monthly and that are collected from ratepayers on the Cape and Vineyard stayed on the Cape and Vineyard. And that really is the formula or the foundation of what started the Cape Light Compact, was to make sure that our energy efficiency funds were stayed locally and were reinvested into the economy locally. And that process went on for many years until 2008. And then 2008, the Green Communities Act changed our energy efficiency programs significantly. As a result of the Green Communities Act, two things happened. One is we were required to file a statewide plan along with the other seven investor-owned utilities. So we work together collaboratively. We still, and we're going to talk about that, have a very CLC-specific program, but we file a statewide plan, and that's a three-year plan, and it has a three-year budget, and we have a fully adjudicated proceeding on that plan in front of the Department of Public Utilities. And basically, what does that mean, an adjudicated proceeding? It means that the budgets, the programs, the bill impacts are evaluated by extensively by the Department of Public Utilities, the Attorney General's Office, and other stakeholders. And these budgets are large. It used to be when we first started administering these programs that we had a budget between $5 and $8 million. These budgets now are between $38 and $40 million annually. And again,
which is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and it's a lot of ratepayer funds. And the Cape Light Compact, I think, and specifically our board, does a very good job because each member town has a representative on the compact board, and they do a very good job to work to ensuring that these funds are spent wisely and they're and with attention and care to the impact of customers on the Cape and Vineyard. So again, it's important to put the plan that we're going to talk about into context because it has changed. It went from 2001 to 2008 as a relatively small program, and in from 2008 to the next three-year plan, they're large programs. This won't eventually we'll see the other side of that curve as we continue to serve customers and markets get saturated. But right now we are in the middle of a very large programs, not just here on the Cape and Vineyard, but across the state of Massachusetts. And actually, just a note, Massachusetts just won for the fifth year in a row ACEEE's Energy Efficiency Award.
Which is awesome.
Yes, it is great, and we were recognized for that nationally for having the most aggressive energy efficiency programs, which is the mandate of the Green Communities Act. We're charged with making sure that we use energy efficiency dollars and pursue every cost-effective measure before you start looking at building new power plants and transmission lines to meet growing demand.
Right. So even though these budgets are extremely large, it beats the alternative of having all of these big power plants put up in our backyard that nobody would like to see.
Yes, and it's more cost effective. And that's that's the analysis and the data support. And I think you alluded to it when you started on your comment about the cheapest kilowatt is the kilowatt you don't use. When you look at dollar for dollar, energy efficiency investments are more cost effective than building new infrastructure.
Absolutely. And so as part of this plan, I know over the last several months, since April, I think we've been doing numerous outreach presentations, to gain input from not only members of the community, but we've done presentations to boards of selectmen, chambers of commerce. So we've really, this is our pro, not just Cape Light Compact's program, but this is really the community's programs. So we've really tried to gain feedback and input.
Yes, Lindsay, you're 100% correct. After we worked with the board on an initial draft in April, which we presented at our April board meeting, we spent May through September holding small community forums. I believe we held 27 of those, very low-key group meetings, and you just talked about them. And again, the purpose of those meetings was to gain feedback from all customers, residents, businesses, on what works, what hasn't been working, what would you like to see more of in our energy efficiency plan, and that really helped shape what the board voted on in October and what we're filing today or this month in October with the Department of Public Utilities.
And that's one thing that a great benefit, not to toot our own horn, but a great benefit of Cape Light Compact is we've asked for our public's input, where in a lot of the other part of the states, is they don't ask their community for the input in these plans. So that's just one benefit of having Cape Light Compact as your local energy efficiency and power supply provider. So Maggie, let's talk a little bit about what we're going to see in the residential programs in the coming year.
Sure, certainly. And you mentioned residential. By law, we're required to offer three types of programs: residential programs, low income program for low income customers, and then the commercial and industrial programs, which Meredith, I know you're going to get to talk to in a few minutes. But what so of note before I get into describe the offerings, when you pay your electric bill as a residential customer. So the funds that are collected from residential customers stay with residential customers. So there's no cross-subsidization. So residential funds don't fund business programs, and business funds don't fund residential programs. The only exception is we're required by law to dedicate 10% of the total budget to programs funding low-income customers, which are residential customers. But beyond that, the funding are kept in separate buckets. So what's happening, what's new and exciting in the world of residential energy efficiency? The board voted to continue the Cape Light Compact's enhancements. So if you haven't had an energy audit, and I know Lindsay gave you the information, I would strongly urge you to participate and give us a call. Customers would call our call center, which is located right here on the Cape, to schedule a home energy assessment, and we would send our vendor out, and all of our vendors are procured competitively, or you can select a vendor of your choice that's capable of participating in the program, and they would come out and they'll do a comprehensive analysis of your home. So once that's done, they would present you with a home energy assessment report, and customers are eligible for up to $4,000. The funds pay 75% up to $4,000, then there's a 25% copay for measures that have been identified in the audit. And the types of things that we look at when we come to your home range from chimney balloons. So if you have a fireplace in your home, you can install a chimney balloon, which will prevent drafts. We'll look at your heating system to make sure it's operated as most efficiently as possible. We'd look at air sealing and insulation opportunities. And all of these items are put together and compiled in the assessment that's provided to the homeowner at the time of visit.
And now, are there any new enhancements or any continuation of enhancements, increased enhancements for income-eligible folks?
Sure. So there are two programs that the Cape Light Compact has been administering successfully, and we're the only ones who've been doing this. In the next coming years, other utilities will be adopting it, but we offer a program. So if you rent your home, or apartment or whatever, but you pay the electric bill, you are eligible for up to 100% of the $4,000 for all cost-effective measures. And the reason why the Compact Governing Board has 100% incentive, meaning no copay for renters, is because we determine that it's a barrier to participation if you don't own your home. We couldn't engage landlords to invest in the property that they weren't responsible for paying a bill. So through analysis and dialogue with our communities, we developed a program that offers 100% incentive for renters who pay their electric bill. And we also went and identified a program where we have 100% incentives for customers who are between 61 and 80% of state median income. And if you're curious as to what is state median income, there's a chart actually on the Cape Light Compact's website that you can go and look at and see where you fall.
There is. It's under the residential energy efficiency page. All that information. So that's great. So I know that folks, especially tenants, that question comes up a lot. We hear at events, you know, well, I rent my house or I rent my apartment. We can still help you as long as you're a year-round tenant and pay your own electric bill. We can still help you. Now, multifamily, I know that we don't have a lot of high-rise units on the Cape or huge apartment buildings, but we have many condo complexes. What's available for them?
That's a great point, Lindsay, and thank you for reminding me to cover it. So multifamily, what does multifamily mean? I think it's good to define it. As you talked about, it's any attached where you have five units on a property. So for us, it's mostly our condominium complexes. And right now, in 2015, we will serve anybody who is in a multifamily unit. And what's new is if you heat that unit with oil or propane, we will now be able to offer weatherization. So that means air sealing and insulation will be available to all condominium complexes that heat with those fuels. Prior to this request, we're hoping will be approved, you would only be eligible for air sealing and insulation if you're heated with electric or natural gas. So again, the compact for this upcoming plan has looked really long and hard at the data, seeing who's been served, what's left to do. And these customer groups, so multifamily condominium units that heat with oil and propane, are an area that we have not offered insulation and air sealing opportunities. And we're hoping to begin that starting in 2016.
And that's really exciting because we know that we do have a lot of oil and propane, at least oil facilities, on the Cape and Vineyard. So this will be exciting for them to be able to hopefully now fully participate in these programs. Now, any new residential programs that are coming up? Any demand response? We've been talking about grid modernization over the last couple of months.
Yes, actually, in our filing, which again, per pending approval from the Department of Public Utilities, we will be doing a demonstration offering on demand response. So we're starting slowly, 200 customers with the goal of up to 600 participants that will be installing a TED, which is the educational device. It is basically a C-clamp that goes on your meter that will provide real-time data through an app on your smartphone or computer that will allow you to, and that's accompanied with Wi-Fi thermostats for customers who have central air conditioning and or heating with electric heat. Still, we do have some customers with electric heat, to monitor real time their home. And as we get events where we know they're going to have a peak load, and these will mostly be summer and some winter events, you'll be asked to curtail, reduce your kilowatt hour consumption, and you'll be provided an incentive. So this is something that the Cape Light Compact will be rolling out in 2016, and each year adding an additional 200 customers. And the equipment will be installed by a licensed electrician, so it should be really easy to participate. We're just looking for 200 customers who are excited and want to see how they can continue and expand ways to improve on their energy consumption.
That's great. And right now, it kind of expands off of the behavior feedback program that we've been doing over the last couple of years, kind of takes it a step further than that.
Yes, it does. It actually takes it, not only can you in our behavior project, you can see what's happening. Now you'll be able to impact and change what's happening, and specifically remotely. And again, that's really what smart grid is all about, and grid modernization is electronic and remote involvement in your home or business.
And of course, I'm sure we'll hear from you or other Compact staff members down the road as the whole grid modernization evolves a bit, so we'll definitely make sure that we update folks.
Definitely.
Well, that is all exciting news on the residential front. So now we'll switch gears and talk about the commercial programs a little bit. So Meredith, I know we have about 17,000 or so small commercial customers on the Cape and Vineyard. What should they be aware of in the new upcoming plan? What's changing? I know there's a lot changing on
there
the commercial
There is a lot
front.
Changing. There is a lot, Lindsay. Well, as you've indicated, we have about 17,000 small commercial industrial customers. That's out of under 20,000 total. So the vast majority of our customers are these small customers, customers who use less than 100,000 kilowatt hours a year. That's about 95% of our customers, about a third of our commercial load. Then we have medium and large customers. Our largest customers are, we've got less than 100 of them who are our biggest users, but they comprise a third of our commercial load. And likewise with the medium, they're about 5% of our customers, but they are about a third of our load. And the reason why we think of the customers this way is, as Maggie indicated, we're part of the effort to keep load from growing, so that there doesn't have to be new investments in transmission and generation. So it's really critical that we look at all the different pieces of our load. One of the things Maggie just talked about was demand control possibilities, and I know that large business customers have historically, the largest, been involved with demand response efforts when there have been events in the region. But I think we also hope that as part of this plan, some of our small business customers will also get involved in some of the behavior and demand control programs, and we're excited about that. Because we've got a lot of small businesses who really want to have control over those bills, and that's something they can participate in well, and some of them have signed up for the current behavior program.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, really. We're because this is
more engagement is always nice.
Yes.
To get people involved in their energy use and really understand how they're using it.
And this is the direction we think that everyone's going to go ultimately. So we want to give people that opportunity ahead of time. So in terms of specifically what's new for small customers, historically we've had a really strong small commercial industrial program, small business program, and we've given special incentives to customers, 80% incentive as compared to the statewide 70%. And we've had a special incentive in recent years for rental customers, people who rent their space, small business customers who rent their space and have year-round leases. Because we know if you've got especially if you've got a seasonal business, it's very tough to have the funds to invest in your space. So we like what we do on the residential side for tenants. We have a special incentive of 95% for qualifying small commercial customers. But what we're going to be doing differently for this next three-year plan is, in addition to what we've had as a turnkey direct install program for these small customers, we are going to be doing something called a business energy assessment. It's modeled after the home energy assessment model, which means when an auditor will come through, they'll do a full assessment of all the systems in the home and on the spot print out a report on everything that is on all the systems in your home. Whereas what we've done historically is give you a report after the fact.
So that'll be exciting. So people can actually know what they use in their business right then and there, rather than having to wait. And hopefully, I think the idea is to also engage people more at that time rather than having to follow up with people
to
weeks
wait.
Down the road.
Because one of the things we found, obviously, is that businesses, small businesses in particular, they don't have a lot of time and energy. They don't have a lot of time to give to this effort after the fact. So when they've got an auditor in there, we want to keep them engaged.
It's the perfect time.
Give them the information right then, as opposed to what the rest of the state does and what we have done historically is give a proposal a couple of weeks later, and it's then hard to get people's attention. And we're also going to install things in that business right on the spot. So what we think of as instant saving measures, as opposed to having someone come back later to do any
Which
of the installation.
Definitely good news, because in the past it's all been done down the road. So
right.
The fact
another
that,
appointment.
Yeah, taking out more time, you know, from the busy business owners. So now they'll actually have some stuff done at the time of the assessment.
At the time of the
and
assessment, the whole process.
Start realizing
yep.
savings immediately.
And the whole process will be shorter, be more efficient, and better use of their time. And also, we're going to pay, some things will be 100% incentivized. So as opposed to just 80%, some things will go in at the time and they'll be free of charge. So we're excited about that. We'll work for small customers. We're also making some changes for our medium and large customers, business customers. For our medium customers, those are those customers that are the 5% of customers that make up a third of our load. We are going to be pursuing a segmented delivery model. What that means is we're going to be segmenting people by their industry. We're going to be picking the most common industries that we have for those customers. For example, grocery and hotels, motels, or lodging. Those are our first two that we're going to be rolling out. We all know that there's a very common businesses on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. And the idea is, if we have a common approach, for those businesses, those segments, they have common needs, they have common business approaches, they have common kinds of equipment, that we can have economies and scale in how we serve them and come to them with expert engineering folks who can do an analysis at their site and give them what they really need for their kind of business. And we've been trying this on the grocery side this year and had a lot of great success. So we're really looking forward to rolling it out next year to additional grocery customers and then to lodging customers. And we'll go on from there to do other segments as well.
That's exciting. And just to clarify, too, for folks,
yes.
is that grocery is not necessarily your big Stop and Shop or
Absolutely.
Shaw's supermarket. It could be your little, you know, corner store or little local market. So we're really trying to reach out to everybody.
Right. And we have about 300 such customers on the Cape and Vineyard. And we have already served some of the really small, some small ones and some mid-sized ones. And that's what we're focused on. actually on the Cape, some of the largest supermarkets are actually part of our largest customer group, you know, and they do a lot of things following a corporate plan. So their needs are different than the independent grocers. So
right.
That's a really good point.
So now on the nonprofits,
mm-hmm.
because I know that that's been an important subject of the board, what's going to be offered for nonprofit organizations on the Cape or Vineyard?
Sure. So this is new for this year. What the board has decided, and we've gotten input from the communities on this as well, is that we're going to be offering higher incentives, 100% incentives, for nonprofits on Cape Cod that are 501c3s, that have been in business for 5 years or more, and if they serve low-income customers in particular, then they can be nonprofits up to an operating budget of $15 million a year annually. For other nonprofits, any small nonprofit is eligible. Anybody who has an operating budget of $2 million or less, regardless of the customer population they serve. And what we're planning on is to serve up to 100 nonprofits a year in this plan. And we know this is important because we see time and time again, nonprofits do not have the dollars for a copay for energy efficiency improvements. They have a hard enough time for raising operating dollars for other things that are needed by their organization. But this really has an impact on their operating costs. So we want to do that. And we all can think of nonprofit organizations in our communities that could benefit from this. So we're excited about that.
Nice. And then on the municipal side, we just recently, well, over the last couple of years, I guess, changed out most of the streetlights with LED streetlights. And so there's some new controls or some option that's
sure.
in the plan, isn't there?
There is. The next step or the next thing in streetlights are street lighting controls. I mean, all over the country, people are changing out streetlights to LEDs, high-efficiency LEDs, which we've just completed, as you indicated, on the Cape and Vineyard for the vast majority of, for any of the municipally owned streetlights, we've done this. And what we're looking at next is controls where you can actually dim down, based on a time clock, dim down the amount of light output you have from a streetlight, and then you can have it come back on if there's traffic going by or if there's any movement. Because lots of towns recognize they do not need full power streetlights on from the amount of light or even less. And so there are some control models out there. We installed these LED fixtures and we picked a fixture that is ready to be controlled. So it's control ready, it's going to be easy to adapt it. And so what we're going to look at is for several hundred fixtures, between 200 and 300, we're going to experiment with these controls. We're going to be talking to the towns, identifying some areas they might want to try them, and we'll try different scenarios. We, one, want to measure the savings that are really, we can really get that are likely in practice, and what kinds of issues come up for towns. Because people don't have a lot of experience with these yet, and people are nervous about them. There are safety concerns, security concerns, but there's a lot of savings available if we can make this successful.
And because, if I could just follow
sure.
up on that, Meredith, we had such a good relationship with our towns when we rolled out
Absolutely.
The LED retrofit, specifically in Provincetown. We
yes.
worked very closely with the community, works what doesn't work,
mm-hmm.
and make sure that the light and the lighting temperature and the color is right for our community. So this is, again, a great example of the Cape Light Compact's ability to build on past successes.
And we do have very involved communities, and we found that out particularly with the streetlight project, that we have very involved citizenry, and they can really help us when we're doing this kind of thing and trying to improve our programs and improve what we offer.
Well, this is all very exciting. We expect, hopefully, that the plan will be approved sometime, end of January?
There's a 90-day, that's the Department of Public Utilities has a 90-day statutory requirement. So it's filed on or before November 1st, which today is October 30th for us. So that gives them 3 months, 90 days to review and approve the plan.
So stay tuned. Stay tuned. We will definitely, you know, have information on our website and out in the public. Now to wrap it up, we're going to have Meredith, do you have any business tips for...
Sure. This is any time there are holidays or a change in weather. For example, we've got the end of daylight savings time this weekend. That means businesses should be aware of, think about their schedules. Anybody who uses an energy management system or has their programmable thermostats, think about when you've got a holiday. We've got Veterans Day coming up. We've got Thanksgiving and, of course, the Christmas holidays. You want to change your schedule or watch your schedule for those holidays because you don't need to have everything on your building per usual.
Great, great advice. And Maggie, with the holidays coming up, do you have any cooking tips for people, energy-saving cooking tips?
Yeah, of course I do. I love to cook, so I've got some great tips, and we'll actually be going over these again every month from now until through the holidays. But one thing it's important during the holidays is to keep your refrigerator and freezer full during the holidays. It's energy efficient because the mass of cold items actually helps keep the refrigerator cold, so it's not cycling as often as enough to make sure it stays cold and or recover each time the door is open. So it's a good thing to keep your refrigerator full. And after you've cooked, a lot of us, when you have leftovers, make sure that your items, hot foods, are fully cooled before placing them in the refrigerator. Again, this is avoiding that refrigerator from having to work overtime to cool. Another thing is to not place, if you're making a soup or a stew with any of the leftovers from these yummy holidays coming up, don't place uncovered items in your refrigerator. And this actually is not only, it applies to both a walk-in for a business, a restaurant,
sure,
on a commercial application,
sure,
or on in your own kitchen. Try and let things cool down and then cover them when you put them in the refrigerator. Cook with the lids on. So it's, again, using, you know, pots and pans have lids for a reason.
Use them properly.
Yep.
Well, I thank you both for joining me today. A lot of good information for our listeners. And happy holidays to everybody.
Same to you. It's been a pleasure.
Busy time, I know, for the staff coming up, but it'll be a lot of fun.
Yes, we're excited.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Well, to our listeners, if you have any questions on what was discussed today or would like more information, you can call 1-800-797-6699 or visit our website, capelightcompact.org. Don't forget to like us on Facebook so you can stay up to date on programs, events, and energy news. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll be here same time, same place next month.